Okay, today's daf is Pesachim Yerushalmi daf Chaf Gimel, and we are on Chaf Beis Amar Beis. We had a haschala yesterday. We started Perek Ve'elu Ovrin. We spoke about the machlokas at the beginning of the Perek. What does that mean? Elu Ovrin, machlokas Rashi Tosfos, whether Ovrin means violating or Ovrin means passing it from one's table. That's when we saw the important comment of Rabbeinu David yesterday, who says that Lashita's Rashi, right? Doesn't the Gemara say that this only is about an Isra Achila? So how is it that we learn Elu Ovrin? Because he says there's a connection. And once you learn an Isra Achila, maybe you'd also have the Bal Yira Bal Yimatze. We saw that comparison, and we added that to the Ran in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim that talks about Bal Yira Bal Yimatze being a Siyag, and the Chacham Tzvi that talks about the Maram Chalava against the Chacham Tzvi in terms of Bal Yira Bal Yimatze and Chatzi Shir. Okay, so we are on the top of Chaf Gimel. Actually, let's go to on Chaf Beis Amid Chaf Beis Amid Beis. So we discussed the Brisa that discussed the question of Maushe Yilke, the Gemara is Maushe Yilke on Chaf Beis Amid Beis, whether there is Malkus by these cases. It's also Daraisa, it's not Kares. But is there Malkus? So we saw there was a Machlokas. Reish Lakish says that there is no Malkus. Avlokos, eino loka. There's no Malkus. But we said, what do you mean? There's a meaning comparable to, as we saw, Reb Chaim Kadevsky says, like Chatzi Shir could be Daraisa with no Malkus. So the Gemara says, one second, but there's a Braisa that says that there is Malkus. Right? We saw the Braisa, in the middle of yesterday's daf, Al Chamitz Baruch Hayav Kares, Al Eruvo Sofeg Arbaim. So first we said, oh, maybe that's the case because there's real Chametz in there that got mixed in. So the Gemara says, real Chametz? Then it should be Kares. And if it's Miut, then it should be Mutter. So it shouldn't be Daraisa without the Malkus. So the Maskana was, oh, maybe it's like Rabbi Shimon's Shita. Meaning it's a case where there is Chametz mixed in, but Ein Bo Kares, as we said, but according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that there is no Shir for Malkus. That's Rabbi Shimon's Shita that we had, reading the last line again, Amar Shol Bar Yitzchak, Tana Rabbi Yeshua Unya Tifta Rabbi Sheish Bo Chametz Ve'ein Bo Kizayis. Could Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Shimon Shita, to Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Shehu Lamakas. Rabbi Shimon says that you don't need a shear for that. That's quoting from the beginning of Maseches, the third parak of Makas. Right, the Rav Chaim Kadievsky here quotes it. Rabbi Shimon Svirlei the Malkus Isa Filibak Kol Shehu. Right, when do you need a shear, minimum shear for an onesh? That's karban, and maybe that's other punishments. But for Malkus, you don't need a shear. For Rabbi Shimon Parak Eloheinu Lokin He Vachitanin Hasam. The first mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Makas, where the Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Kama Yochal Minatav V'Yechayiv." Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shehu, Amalei Rabbi Shimon. Remember the Machlokas. Rabbi Shimon says to them, "Iyatem Odem Li Shochal Nemala Kol Shehu Shuchayiv." Don't you admit that if you eat an ant, if you eat an ant, you're going to be chayiv? I'm reading from Chaim Konievsky now, right? Don't you agree that there's no shear? Even a tiny ant is going to be chayiv for the avera. And they say, "No, that's birya. That's birya. Don't compare birya to just a small amount." Amrulo mebreishu kibir yasa. Amrulahem afchita achas kibir yasa. Mefreshin hasam. The Rabbi Shimon argues even by kemach and holds the lo amr kizayis elini karbano karis avala malkus bekal shehu. Malkus kal shehu, and that's what and that's who the Bryce is according to, and therefore not like Reish Lakish is okay. The Bryce is not against him. In these cases, it could be that there is no malkus. Okay. We continue now on the top of Chav Gimel and Aleph, second line. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, B'Shem Rav. Rav says the following. So we're getting into a little bit issues of Bittel. Rav is going to hold, as we'll see, the assumption of Rav. Rav generally is going to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Min Bemino is not Bittel. Min Bemino, there are two types of mixtures. There's something in its type and something not in its type. Min Bemino is something in its type. Min b'she'eno mino is something not in its type. And pasha b'shat, that means in terms of taste. Min b'mino means the same taste. Therefore, there's no issue of no same tam by min b'mino. Min b'she'eno mino is by no same tam, right? And therefore, it goes by whether taste was transferred. So Rav holds min b'mino is not batal. But as we'll see in general, by chametz, Rav is machmer that even min b'she'eno mino is not batel, right? Chametz is osur b'mashehu. Even min b'she'eno mino is not batel. Gzeiratu min b'mino. Min b'mino is not batel, and by chametz, part of the chumra of chametz is that Rav says even min b'she'eno mino is not batel. So with that, the Gemara says, in the name of Rav, k'deira shebishal ba chamira, I'm going to change that word, k'deira, you have a pot. a cheres pot, an earthenware pot. Shabisho ba chamir, a chametz tikka pot. If a chametz tikka pot, lo yevasho ba me'oso hamin, elo la'achar ha-pesach. You're not allowed to cook in that pot from the same type. What do you mean from the same type? Let's say you baked bread in this pot before Pesach. So matzah and bread is the same type. So you can't bake matzah because Rav is saying min b'mino is not batal. So the taste, the blia of the pot of chametz will go into the matzah. And therefore, you're not allowed to use that pot on Pesach because it will not be batal. Ela la'achar ha-Pesach. After Pesach is mutter. Right, after Pesach is mutter. Well, because what's after Pesach? Chametz shavar lo v'Pesach? Where only goes there by ba'in. Right, chametz shavar lo v'Pesach and not by blios, according to this line. And therefore, after Pesach, it would be okay. Hami min acher, mutter. Mashba, that the only problem on Pesach is from the same min. But from a min acher, it would be mutter. You're allowed to cook in a chametz stick pot, matzah, on Pesach. Right? From the same, but different, because it's min b'she'in amino. Mutter, really? Says the Gemara, wait a minute. Ubilvah la'achar shlosha tafshilin. Only after, if you have already used this pot, before Pesach, three more times for non-chametz. So that's kind of kashers it. If you used it three times for non-chametz, that gets out all the blias, and therefore, it would be allowed, right? This serves as a hagala. This serves as a hagala. So again, it serves a hagala, not a kasher. So again, remember, after, though it's cheres, it's, we're talking about an issa d'rabanan here, because it's eino ben yomo. It's after 24 hours. So if it's an issa d'rabanan of chametz, if you cook three times in it, so that functions as a hagala, and therefore, even though it's klicheres, Rav says it's going to be, kashered and allowed to be used. Says the Gemara. Well, let's just finish the section and then we'll talk about it more. Says the Gemara now, if that's true, if you're telling me that cooking in the chametzik pot three times before Pesach, non-chametzik items, that kind of kashers the pot, so then why is it limited to eino mino? Kishem shu batal al she'eino mino, kach yivatal amino. So if you're telling me it's like a kashering, then even you should be able to cook in mino on Pesach. If you say it's kashered, right? If you, the three times that you cooked in it, beforehand. So Gemara says, no. Min ma'orer al mino le'aser. No, the min, what's called matzah min es mino. Once you use the same type, that awakens certain types of tastes, halachically, in the pot and it draws it out. And therefore, it would be usher to do min and mino. So this is Rav. Again, there's a lot more in terms of halacha l'maisa, which the Gemara does not go into now. We generally don't, if one needs, but we live in such an affluent reality that we're not kashering chametz stick pots to you generally to use for Pesach. But again, in the days, earlier days where they had to figure out, especially klicheres is usually not kasherable. So, are there any exceptions to the rule? So Rav says yes. Why should there be a difference between min b'mino and min b'she'eino mino, especially this last line of the min mino awakens, min is awakens the mino, right? The language of min ma'orer al mino le'aser. So it could be connected to our Ran that comes up every couple of weeks. The Ran in Meseches Nedarim on Daf Nun Beis, which talks about the difference between min b'mino and min b'she'eino mino. And he talks about Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which Rav is based on. And that is min b'mino lo batal. So why is min b'mino lo batal? So we, the Rabbanon, Meseches Yuma, don't paskin min b'mino lo batal. But we know what the svar is. What does Rabbi Yehuda say by min b'mino lo batal? Bittel is based on a clash. Bittel is based on a competition of definition. And therefore, if you have two different items that are competing for this definition, so one's going to overpower the other one. Right, that's min and eino mino. There's a clash there. When you have min and mino, there's no clash. They could coexist. They're friends, right? They're companions, and they could coexist. That's why bittel requires a clash. And if it's similar types, so then it could coexist. So let's see what the Ron says. V'ksav Rabbi Yehuda, t'hainu taima mishub d'min mino lo batel lefi shekol davar shehu dome lachaveiro. Anything that's similar to its friend, ve'eno machlisho umavatlo elamamido machazko. Anything similar, min bamino. It does not weaken and nullify the other item, but strengthens it. That's Rabbi Yehuda holds by all isurim. What Rav is based on in our Gemara. Min bamino labatel. V'rabbanan lamashmu huachi. The Rabbanan don't hold that. Why? Demikol makom min bamino de isur veheter ein domin zelazet. Because even if it's min bamino, if one's usur, one's mutter, that's enough to be called min b'sheino mino, according to the Rabbanan. So I agree with your yesod that min bamino is not batel. But if something's usur and something's mutter, the Rabbanan hold, that's called min b'sheino mino. And therefore it's going to be batel. There is a clash. Kiven dechad usur v'chad shari she'en roi leilich achar dimyonan be'etzem. We don't go after their reality, what they are. Elo achar chilukan be'isur v'heter. But we go after their status. And one's usur, one's mutter, that's enough to be called min b'sheino mino. That's the Ran's svar. And remember, the Ran applied that to the sugya of what's the Ran talking about in that context? Dover sheish l'matirin. Right? With dover sheish l'matirin is not batel. What's the svar for that? So Rashi, at the beginning of Mesechus Beitza, says, well, you might as well wait. Well, why rely on bittel? Asher tochlanu be'isur tochlanu beheter. That's Rashi. But the Ran has a fancier chiddush. The Ran says here, and we discussed this back in Shabbos HaGadol, right? The Ran says, no, the point is halachic definitions. And therefore, davar sheish lo matirin, because it's going to become mutter, that's not called iser beheter. That's heter beheter. And the whole svar of the Rabbanon against Rabbi Meir is that, no, this is iser beheter. And that's why it's min b'shein amino. But the Ran says, no, by davar sheish lo matirin, it's going to become mutter. So you could be machshavit heter beheter, and therefore it is not batal. Davar sheish matirin. So that's the Ran there in Adarim, and that's related to our Gemara here, where the Gemara says, when you have min b'mino, it awakens each other. Right away with each other. That's why it's going to pull out the taste, and therefore you can't use this koshering mechanism that Rav uses. You can't use that for even min bamino, because it's not going to work. It's going to pull out the taste that's inside. Okay, we continue. Other practices of the Amoraim who were machmir about, you know, in Yoni Pesach. Remember, Yoni Pesach was generally machmir mentality in terms of chametz. So other behaviors. Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Zavdi, Rabbi Avo Mefake L'Tochanaya. Rabbi Avo used to tell his grinders, Tochanaya, from the word Tochain, to grind, the ones that worked in the mill, to lo meitain kufia ilain al ilain. Don't put your sacks of flour one on top of another one. Right? Don't put your sacks of flour one on top of another one. To lo yirtachun v'yechmaun. Because then they'll get warm and they'll come to chametz. And they'll leaven. Right, question, does that mean right now, as they're sitting on each other, they're going to somehow start rising? Or does it mean that if they're warm, so when you add water, it's going to go quicker than usual, and you're not going to be careful? So either way, don't do that. The Mordechai here points out that maybe we're not zara about this bizman hazeh. Maybe it doesn't seem to be the reality. Rav Chinna bar Papa, also le gabi tochanaya. Rav Chinna bar Papa, he went himself to the grinders, meaning he... Either way, two pshatim. Either he went to watch over that they did this, right? Azalei, he went himself. Others say this means he went himself in order to grind, because he wanted to do the grinding in l'shem mitzvahs matzah, right? He wanted to be involved in the matzahs himself in order to Mishnah Berurah Chelek Hei, in order to be able to be involved in the mitzvah, l'shem matzah, the mitzvah, even in the grinding of the wheat. The Shulchan Aruch talks about how there are certain, we tell mitzvah bo yesmei b'shlucha, right? Usually, the greater for you to do the mitzvah than for others to do the mitzvah. So that only applies, the Gemara applies that in the beginning of the second paragraph of Kiddushin to two mitzvahs. It applies to Kiddushin and Oneg Shabbos. Kiddushin and Oneg Shabbos. So the Mefarshim talk about, especially, let's say, according to the Rush holds that getting married is not a mitzvah, it's a Hechsher mitzvah. So he applies mitzvah bo yosmei b'shlucho, even to hechsher mitzvahs. So it might be l'shitaso. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rush as doing the afiyas matzahs yourself. It says the Rush was machmir to go baking the matzahs. That's a hechsher mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah itself. Eating the matzah is a mitzvah, but baking it. So he did it. Maybe it's the Rush l'shitaso. Just like if he assumes, like Gemara and Kiddushin applies it by Kiddushin, which is a hechsher mitzvah according to the Rush. So that's why he also gets it by Afiyas Amatzos. He has it there. So I'm going to read it, but it's in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, the Rush was Machmid. He quotes him by name. The Rush was Machmid to bake his matzahs himself. Okay. Rabbi Yossi We continue. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi bar bun tochen le tzaraf. When he grounded, he went to the tzaraf, those that are tsarfim, those who work in silver, the smelters, he had them grind the matzah, the grain. Why? The carbonate explains, because he was nervous that the regular grinders use their aprons that they use the whole year, and they have like dried out grain and wheat and on their aprons, and it might fall onto the matzah and then mix in. So I want to get people who don't have any grain, nothing, a different profession. So you got the smelters, right? Says the Karbonaida. Hayatochin le echad mitzorfe kesef unachoshes. He got somebody who was smelting metal. He didn't use them. The regular grinders. Shebigdeim aleim in a dock. It's full of the flour. Sometimes on our aprons, we have no idea what's on there. So, want us to be careful. Rabbi Avun, Hori Latochanaya, Meitan Tartun, Demai, Begin Modaya. What does that mean? Rabbi Avun, gave instruction to the grinders. Meitan Tartun to, to use a measuring cup, if you look in the carbon eita, sheyitnu kli mali mayim l'toch amida, right? When you're going to use the measuring cups, maybe everything was cold, so you can use the same measuring cups for what you used before Pesach. So fill it a number of times. Tartun is a certain type, demaya. Maya is water. Tartun is a certain type of measure. Fill the measuring cup with water, right? Because he wants to make sure that you shake it out and rinse it out enough. Umetlaya, rotate it, arba zimnin. Basically means clean it out very well. Fill it with water a bunch of times, shake it around, spill it out, fill it with water again, right, to make sure you get off all of the previous grain. Rabbi Chananya, Rabbi Manachad Amar, Be'isvin Shari. Some say Be'isvin. What are you allowed to put your grain down on? So one opinion says you can put it down on grass. Mitanina Usser. But moist soil, you cannot put it on. Not put it on. On afar lacha, says the Karbonaida. The charana michlef, and the other opinion says no, the opposite. Right? Moist soil, that's okay, but not on isfin, not on grass, because grass has moisture. Amar b'chanani b'reidur of hilav, afilu kamanda amar b'isfin shari, even if you want to say, it's mutter on the grass, belokta mishishos l'malam, that only means if you put it on the grass late in the day, after the dew has already evaporated from the morning. Because if you put it right in the morning, sometimes you go outside, the grass is all wet in the morning, it didn't rain in the summertime. So that is, it's all wet in the morning because of the dew, so you have to wait till later. Madatala faiga minhon. Once the dew evaporates, that's when you can put it onto the grass. Some, a couple of practices. Again, nowadays we have it indoors, but sometimes if you need it on a place, where would you put it? Tal, as we're worried here about the tal, the dew, that comes up in halacha. Where does tal come up in halacha? It's one of the seven liquids. One of the seven liquids that are machshir l'kabel tumah. Yad shachat dam. Right, that's the abbreviation. The last parak in Maseches Machshirin quotes the seven liquids: yayin, dvash, yad, shachat, shemen, chalav, tal, dam, and mayim. Right, those are the seven. And the way to remember them, tal is the toughest one. But today we mentioned this some mafarshim. The seven liquids connect to the seven holidays of the year. So that's how six out of seven are pretty straightforward. So you have yad shachat, yayin is Purim. I think it's Purim. Yayin, Yad, Dalet, Dvash is Rosh Hashanah. And Shachat, Shemen is Chanukah. And Shachat, Chechalav is Shavuos. Right? And Tess, we'll leave that one for a minute. And Dam is Pesach. And Mem Mayim is Sukkos, because it's Nisuch HaMayim, the only holiday. So all of them work out well. Tal and Yom Kippur, that's the one that's left. So you got to work hard to come up with a nice drush about of Tal being Yom Kippur. Tal comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just the different than rain, meaning rain has to do more with us. Tal is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the Yom Kippur is the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Yuma, HaSatan is Gematria 364, and one day of the year there's no Satan, there's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, you could come up with something, but you remember the Tal one is the one that has to do with Yom Kippur, and you got to work for that one. Okay, says the Mishnah Halacha Beis here. Batik Shebistikei HaAreva. Somebody has a big bowl. A kneading bowl that has some cracks in it. So in the cracks, dough got into the cracks. So it could be that dough got in there by accident. You don't want the crack. You don't want it in there. Or maybe Yudafka are happy to have that dough that's hardened, that's not really edible anymore, but it's hardened and flattened out the cracks and filled in the cracks. So what do I have to try to get rid of those? Do I have to get a toothpick and start getting out those, that dough in those cracks? So Basak Shibasikasiki Areva, Imyesh Kazayas Malgamechar Chayavar. If there's a kazayas in one spot, that's chashav and you have to get rid of it. Pachos mikan batal miyuto. If it's less than a kazayas in one spot, then you can it's batal, it's nullified. There is a factor that's mentioned in the Bavli that's not mentioned here in the Yerushalmi, but the Pnei Moshe here quotes it, that even if it's less than a kezayis, it's only if it's there and it's helpful to be machazik the bowl. Im ha'asui lachazik, says the Pnei Moshe, v'im eino asui lachazik afilu hupachaz b'kezayis chayav levar, v'sheinu mevatlo liosham, v'efshashi mafi itlenu. So even if you want to say less than a kezayis is going to be mutter to leave there, that's only if it's meant to be there and you're not going to take it because it's helpful to close up the cracks, right? Asui lechazik. That's the first Mishnah, first part of the Mishnah. V'chein l'inyan tumah, the same thing with tumah. If I have a kli that I have to be tovel, so just like there's chatzitza when it comes to people, there's chatzitza interposition when it comes to kelim. So if I want to be tovel something, so im hikpid alav, if I'm makpid on this piece of dough, I don't want it there, then chotzeitz, that's a chatzitza. And you have to get rid of it before you tovel it. Imrotu, but kiyuma, but if I want it there, and now it's basically batel, become part of the item, then hariyu karicha, kareva, right? So it's just like the kneading trough, and therefore it's batel, and therefore you can tovel it as is. Good. Batel, acheresh, third part of the Mishnah. If you have a dough that is cheresh, cheresh means deaf. What do you mean a deaf dough? You bang on it, just like a person says something and a deaf person doesn't react or doesn't hear it. So this dough, you bang on it and there's nothing happens. There's no signs of chimutz. Right, that's how it's used here. But if there are five doughs here and the other four have all started cracking and showing signs of chimutz, just this one hasn't, hariza asur. Right, this is, you have to assume it's asur also. There's a lashon in postgame, yagid alav reyo. Its friend is made on it. Right, and therefore here, if you have five loaves and four of them are, you know, look chametz dick, and this one it hasn't yet, you have to be choshesh. You have to be choshesh. Period. Chavrai b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Simon, b'shem Rabbi Shimon Levi, b'niklav kulo ka'achas. Explains the Karban Eidah. Even if you want to say the first part of the Mishnah, if you have kezayis in one spot, you have to get rid of it. Even if it's not in one spot, if it's in a couple of spots, but there's a strand of dough that connects. That connects the two parts. You have two cracks in your areva. And you have a half a kazayas and a half a kazayas in each crack. So, it's batel. No. If there's a strand of dough connecting them, and when you lift one up, the whole thing on both sides peel up with it, that's called one. And therefore that's called kazayas in one spot. Right? Beniklav kulo ka'achas. Right? That's what the carbonator says on the bottom. Lav dachka b'makam echad, even in shnei makomos, if they are connected. Ad kedun lach. So now, we understand, if it's lach and moist and it comes up together, yavesh, what happens if it's dried out? Meaning, if you pick up one side of it, the whole thing is going to crumble. You're not going to be able to pick up the other side with it. So, is that, but it's connected by this strand. So is that good enough? Right, see, bottom carbonate. Yavesh, hu nifrar binatila. So, v'yef shalakalfa, you can't peel it off all in one fell swoop. Ma'oshi yichabrin chut batzik shebineyam. Does the chut connect? So, says the Gemara, Me'achar shilu hayalach, hayaniklav kula ka'achas. The Gemara says, well, since if it would be moist, you would be able to pick it up all at once. I feel a yavish, because either I said that even if it's dry, it's all considered one spot, and therefore if it's a kazayas, you need to get rid of it. Rabbi Yerbiyam, b'shem Rabbi Zeira, shnei chatzoi zesim betoch ha'bayis, ein ha'bayis mitzarif. If you have two half a kazayasim in the house, right, let's say, are we still talking about in a two different kalim? Let's say those aren't mitzarif to each other. It's two different places, right? Just like we said before, we said in one kli. So now the Gemara says, "B'toch ha'kli, a kli mitzarif." But the Reb Zeira says, if it's in the same kli, the kli is mitzarif to two half kazeisim. Says the Gemara, one second, didn't we just say in the Mishnah, not true? Ve'ha tanin pachad b'kano batal be'muto. We just said if it's two separate spots, it's half a kazeis in each one. It's not. It doesn't combine, right? Only if it has this strand of dough in between. So what's Reb Zeira talking about? Answer, kan betalush, kan b'mechubar. No, it depends if it's talush or mechubar. Meaning, what's the Mishnah talking about? It's stuck into the cracks. If it's stuck into the cracks, it's mechubar. That's what we say, they're not connected. Because they're not moving. You pick up the bowl, and It stays in its spot. It's not connected to each other. So by mechubar, that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Talush means if you have a bowl and you have two half kazesim of dough in it, those combine. Those combine. What does this whole Gemara sound like? It sounds like there's a minimum shear for Bal Yerubay Yematzeh. But it sounds like, what if there's a half kazesim? So you have to get rid of it. So it sounds like, right, on this Mishnah, that's where the Maram Chalava is. Right, we spoke about the Chacham Tzvi, I think, in the last year. About, we know, the minimum for eating chametz is kazayis. What about Bayir Rabbi Yematzei? So that's where the Chacham Tzvi said, there's no chatzi shir by Bayir Rabbi Yematzei. Because chatzi shir requires achsheve, you have to do an action to show that it's machshevet. And Bayir Rabbi Yematzei, there is no action. This Gemara sounds like there's a minimum, a shir supporting that shita, because it has to combine. Interesting also, it talks about combining in a kli and in a house. There are other areas of halacha where kli mitzarif masha besocho, right? The challah, right? Challah, baking challah. So he's baking challah, so you have to have the minimum amount of shear. So what if you're making separate loaves, but it's in the same kli? In the same kli, fine. What if it's in the same kitchen? Pasha's not fine. What if it's in the same refrigerator? What if it's in the same plastic bag? All different. The poskim, you look in the Shmir Shabbos in the second volume, talks about all these permutations. Okay. So now we have a couple of questions that are not going to be answered. Ma miato. What if you have a kezias in one spot in the bowl, so it's a problem, but then you took a little bit of it out? Right now it's less than a kezias. Ma, what if you're ma'id it? Batel. Do we say, okay, now it's less than a kezias in one spot, so you can leave it, it's batel. Or do we say, oh, mikiban she nir elevar, tzarch levar es kulo. Or do we say, since it was nir elevar, since at one time it was already one piece, one kezias altogether, so then you have to be mevarit, right? Even if you are minimize it. Tzarch levaris kulo. One question. Ad heichan, according to Rabbi Zeira, before we ask the second question, or according to Rabbi Zeira, that the kli is mitzaref, how close do they have to be in the kli? Right, again, the kli is mitzaref them, and we said that means if it's talish, right? If it's separate inside the kli, not like this part of the kli, like the Mishnah was talking about mechubar. So how close do they have to be together? Sovereign meimar ruba shel areva. So they thought, the Talmidim thought to say, it's got to be on this half, right? Adrov, the 50%. 50% of the kli, that has to have, that's when they're combined to each other. If you have half a kezias and half a kezias on the same side of the kli. Ma miyet ruba shel areva. What happens if you then spread it out until it's more than half? So now what? So again, if this is how it started, then it wouldn't be mitzarev. So the same kind of question. Batel, do we say now that it's spread out, it is not on the same half of the kli, so then it's not going to be considered mitzurev, and therefore it's batel. O mikivish, and you're a levar, so a levar is kulo. Or do we say no? It started off as all being on half the same half, and therefore once you have a chi of bior, so then that doesn't disappear. Doesn't disappear. Okay, we skip the next three lines. All the mafarshim take it out from taman until the two dots. Im hikbar alav chotei tu litvila. So the Mishnah said in the second half of the Mishnah that the same halachas regarding, let's say, kezayis, not kezayis, if you're planning to leave it there. So ilchas tevila on a kli. If you're makbid on the dough, you don't want the dough to be there. Im hikbar alav chotei tu litvila. Then you can't tovel this with this item, with this dough on it. But if you're not makbid and you consider it as part of the kli now, then you can leave it on and you can be tovel it. Now the Gemara says, he tevila, he hazaya. The same rules would apply to the sprinkling of the water of the paraduma, right? The mayim chayim that's mixed with the ashes of the paraduma, the same thing. What happens if you're sprinkling on your kli that became tamei meis? You're sprinkling the water of the paraduma on it, and it hits tafka, this piece of dough that's part of your kli. So is that considered you sprinkled it on the kli? So the same rules would apply. Right, if you're machped about it, you don't want it there, then that's not good azaya. But if it's, you know, you're leaving there and it's batel, so then it is a good hazaya. Says the Gemara, eino chibur l'tuma. So the Pnei Moshe explains. The Gemara said, v'chein le'inyin tuma. Right, what was the language of the Mishnah? The language of the Mishnah is v'chein le'inyin tuma. So the Pnei Moshe says, everything we've explained so far to explain the Mishnah has been regarding tahara, right? Regarding it becoming tahara in a mikvah, tevila, and hazaya. So what about tumah, right? Says the Pnei Moshe. V'shoal hashas toholam afar shalahad dektani v'chein l'inyin tumah makvad alav delinyin tefila mitumah kamar. It's all about tahar im kaim imabatik eno chibur la areva le inyan tuma. So what about regarding tuma? Shim nitma habatik lo nitma areva. Right. The Gemara jumped to explain the words v'chein le'inyin tumah in the Mishnah as talking about tara. Is that to teach me that, let's say, if the piece of dough becomes tameh, is the rest of the dough not going to become tameh? Does it go by the same rules? Why did the Mishnah just explain it regarding tumah? Isn't that what the Mishnah says? So the Gemara says, min hada im rotze hu bekiyumo harehu ka'areva v'im lav kigufa shel areva. From the list lashon of kigufa shel areva, right? If you want it to stay there, then it's kigufa shel areva, right? It's like that's the next line of the Mishnah. We don't have kigufa. We have harayu ka'areva. The Gemara assumes that is teaching me this halacha of tuma. Meaning, if you want to leave it there, it's mamish like the kli itself. And therefore, that line is teaching me that if some of it's tummy, then the whole thing becomes tummy because it is kigufa shel areva. So we learn many halachas. We learn the regarding tara, regarding hazoya, and we learn regarding tuma as well. Rav Shimon Lakish, Reish Lakish, that starts the next piece. Remember, just the hazoya is the different mechanism of tahara. Usually tara, how do I make myself tahar? It's all in my control. I jump in a mikvah. I count days. I do a bdika. I jump in a mikvah. Usually the way that you become tahar is all in your control. Regarding tumas meis, is not in your control. Tumas meis, and maybe mitzores chashav kemeis, you require someone else to make you tahar, right? Somebody has to sprinkle the ashes of the paraduma on you. The kohen has to help the mitzorah become tameh. So if Soloveitchik says that's parallel to misa itself, because misa we're not in control, right? And that's the mystery of tumas meis, is reflected by the way that we become tahar from tumas meis. It's the we relinquish our control. Of we can't make ourselves tar in this situation. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So also becoming tar from Tumas Meis, it also is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, he has an article about that in the second volume of Reflections of the Rav. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Pesachim Chav Gimel. Hashem will continue next time.